Him. What does he use? Janma B. Births. Tree B. Three. Va. Or. Niha. In this world. Sokha. By Simon. Savitra. By initiation. Yajnakai. By becoming a perfect Brahmana. Karma B. By activities. Va. Or. Trai. In the Vedas. Prokai. Instructed. Pungsa. Of a human being. Abhi. Even and Vibhuda of the demigods, Ayusha, with a duration of life. Translation, civilized human being has three kinds of birth. The first birth is by a pure father and mother, and this birth is called birth by semen. The next birth takes place when one is initiated by spiritual master. This birth is called Savitra. The third birth, called Yajnaka, takes place when one is given the opportunity to worship our Vishnu. Despite the opportunities for attaining such births, even if one gets the lifespan of a demigod, if one is not actually engaged in the service of the Lord, everything is useless. Similarly, one's activities may be mundane or spiritual, but they are useless if they are not meant for satisfying the Lord. Her part, the word Sokar Janma means taking birth in seminal discharge. Animals can take their births this way too. However, a human being can be reborn. The Sokar Janma is recommended in Vedic civilization. Before the birth takes place, or before father and mother unite, there's a ceremony called Garbhadhana Sanskar, which must be adopted. This Garbhadhana Sanskar is especially recommended. Higher caste, especially the Brahmana caste, says the Shastra that the Garbhadhana Sanskar is not practiced among the higher caste. The entire family becomes Sudra. It is also stated that in the age of Kali, everyone is Sudra due to the absence of the Garbhadhana Sanskar in the Vedic system. According to the Pancharatra system, however, even though everyone is suited to the absence of governance, some stuff, a person has but a little tendency to become Krishna conscious, he should be given the chance to elevate himself to the transcendental platform of devotional service. Our Krishna conscious movement adopts this Pancharatra vidhi as advised by Sri Sanatana Goswami, who says, Hita Kanchanatam Yati Kungsam Rasa Vidanataha Tata Diksha Vidanena Vichitam Jayate Nanam. As bell metal when mixed with mercury is transformed to gold, a person, even though not golden, pure, can be transformed into a brahmana or dvija simply by the initiation process. Thus, if one is initiated by a proper person, he can be accepted as twice born immediately. In our Krishna conscious movement, we therefore offer the students first initiation, allowing to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra regularly and following the regular principles. Being qualified to be initiated as a brahmana, because unless one is a qualified Brahmin, he can't be allowed to worship the Lord Vishnu. This is called Yajnaka Janma. In our Krishna conscious society, unless one is twice initiated, first by chanting Hare Krishna, second by the Gayatri Mantra, he is not allowed to enter the kitchen or deity room to execute duties. However, when one is elevated to the platform on which he can worship the deity's previous birth, it does not matter. Even if one is born in the family of a Changa, if one engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, he becomes the best of Brahmanas. But even a Brahmana who is devoid of devotional service is on the level of a lowest dagi. If a person is advanced in devotional service, it does not matter whether he was born in a Chandala family, he becomes purified. As Sri Prabhupada Maharaj said, even if one is a Brahmana is qualified with all the brahmanical qualifications, he is considered degraded if he is averse to worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if a person is attached to the service of the Lord, he becomes glorified even if he is born in Chandala family. Indeed, such a Chandala can deliver not only himself but all his family predecessors. Without devotional service, even a Brahmana cannot deliver himself. And what to speak of his family? In many instances in the Shastra, it seems that even a Brahmana has become a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, Mlesha, or non-Brahmana. And there are many instances where one being born in Kshatriya, Vaishya, even lower, and in the 18th year attaining elevation to the brahminical platform by the process of initiation. Therefore, Narada Muni says, it's not a fact that because one is born in a Brahmana family, he is automatically a Brahmana, he has a better chance to become a Brahmana, but unless he meets all the brahminical qualifications, he cannot be accepted as such. On the other hand, if the brahminical qualifications are found in the person of a Sudra, he should be accepted as a Brahmana. To substantiate this, there are many quotations from Bhagavata, Mahabharata, Bharata, Samhita, and the Pancharatra, as well as many of the scriptures. As far as the duration of life of the demigods, concerning Lord Brahma, it is said, the duration of one day of Brahma is 1,000 times greater than the 4 yugas I related formerly in 320,000 years, similar to Brahma's one night. Brahma lives for 100 years and just days and nights. The word Buddha Ayusha indicates that even if one takes a long lifespan, his lifespan is useless if he is not a devotee. A living entity is the eternal servitor of the Supreme Lord, and unless he comes to the platform of devotional service, his lifespan, good birth, glorious activities, and everything else are null and void. Translation of civilized human being has three kinds of birth. The first birth is by her father and mother. This birth is called the birth of Saman. The next birth takes place when one is initiated by the scripture master. This is called the Savitra. The third birth, called Yagyika, takes place when one is given the opportunity to worship Lord Vishnu. Despite the opportunity to birth to any such birth, even if one takes a lifespan of demigod, if one does not actually engage in the service of the Lord, everything is useless. Similarly, one's activities may be mundane or spiritual, but they are useless if they're not meant for satisfying the Lord. So here we have a description of three types of birth. Generally, we think of two births, the birth from the father and mother, and then the birth through the guru. Here, particularly, we have three births more or less related to the Vedic ritual. Of course, we have the birth by the mother and father. Then we have the Savitra birth, which literally means that which, with the Brahma Gayatri, which means a Vedic birth, which means the Upanayanam ceremony. And then we have Yagyika, which is initiation into the Yagyas. Sometimes we see the great sages have Yagyas, and then they select someone to participate, and then they have to get a special initiation for that yagya. So it's a more specialized type of initiation after the general initiation with the Vedic mantra. So technically speaking, this is not applying. This is a little bit out of reference to the Pancharatrika Vidhi, but it sometimes is taken, the yagya Vidhi is taken as the third one, being the Vaishnava initiation. There's a birth there also, third birth. But here, of course, the question is asked, if one gets these three types of birth through father and mother, through Upanayanam, and through the Yagya, still, what is the use for a person if he does not worship the Supreme Lord, even if he has a long lifespan? If there is no devotion, then all these other things become useless, which would imply that all these are not directly devotional service. In other words, Savitra, Upanayanam, and the Yagyika Diksha would not be there for the Vaishnavic. Now, if they are, of course, and they're done properly, then this question would not arise if be useless or whatever, because one would be initiated as a Vaishnava, and then one would be worshiping the Lord. So the question would not arise that in spite of this not worshiping the Lord, that such a question would not arise. The Gayatri itself, I want to say, well, the Vedic Gayatri is also Vishnu ultimately, but we do know that various people use the Gayatri in various ways, and they don't necessarily think of Vishnu. Of course, Jiva Goswami is quoted from Agni Purana and written a little dissertation on this and saying that the Brahma Gayatri, or Savitra Gayatri, is it's intended for Vishnu, the worship of Vishnu. But other people may not accept that. Some smartas will think it is the Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, etc. And others will say it is Shiva. So various people will interpret in various ways. Therefore, it is open to not being a particularly Vaishnava mantra by many people, by their intention behind chanting it, even though Jiva Goswami says it means Vishnu, so other people will have other interpretations. So they won't get the effect of worshipping Vishnu through that. So they have a birth, and they have a second birth, but it also does not make them into Vaishnavas. And even if they go to the Yagya and get another birth, still,
Now that they may not be a Vaishnava. So in that case, because they don't worship the Lord, everything is useless. So it is useless in several ways. One is because these other processes, like karma yoga, are useless without recognition of Vishnu, without the worship of Vishnu. And even if one does these things, but one is prominently interested, has other interests, that means there must be a material interest, or at best, liberation. So these also are useless for the Vaishnava. He does not consider these things very significant at all. Okay? So we can take birth, and then from the mother and father, then we can get our upanayanam, and do many activities like sacrifices, etc., for material gain or whatever. All this useless, ultimately. Even though it is sanctioned in the karma kanda of the Vedas, ultimately, useless as far as invoking devotion to the Lord is concerned. So the message we learn from this is ultimately the process to follow is bhakti. The main activities of bhakti are hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. There's a list of 64 items mentioned by Rupa Goswami after devotion. Not an exhaustive list, but those are the main items which are practiced in bhakti. So they include the hearing, chanting, remembering, associating with devotees, worshipping the deity, observing festivals of the deity, seeing the deity, offering obeisances, etc. These are activities which directly produce bhakti. So these are the main activities of a devotee. He may do other activities because he has to support his body, he has to do so many other things. So he may do other activities also, but his main spiritual activity is this. And if he does other activities with the belief that they're also necessary for a spiritual life, then it becomes mixed bhakti. If he feels that he has to do other activities other than these things for his spiritual progress, and it depends on that, then if these things become quite prominent, then it becomes a mixed type of bhakti. This, of course, is better than no bhakti, or better than little bhakti with a lot of other mixtures, but still, it is not at the level of purity. And so purity means that we believe that simply the process of bhakti is that which carries out the ultimate goal. And whatever else we do without attachment one way or the other. We do it because for various reasons, like Bhokta Sangraha, which means teaching others. We may follow other rules to teach others, but we're not particularly attached to them in ourselves. So in this way, the concentration is upon the direct activities of bhakti. Other activities are favorable, so we may do them. Yeah. So generally things which are non-contradictory to bhakti, but which are favorable for the body, whatever, we can do those activities. We borrow activities from the Varnashram system, like rules of cleanliness, rules of social interaction, etc. So we can do those things, not a problem, in that they are favorable to the development of bhakti. But the understanding is that these activities in themselves do not create bhakti, or do not increase the bhakti. They only help the processes of bhakti itself, the 64 angas. So the 64 angas actually increase and intensify the bhakti and get us from shraddha to prema. The other activities are simply supporting those activities in themselves. If we simply do those activities, they don't create bhakti. Whereas if they do the activities of bhakti, the bhakti angas, without the other activities, still they work. Right? So hearing works without the other activities. Association works without the other activities. In this way we have to understand the distinction between these things. Right? This verse here indicates that all one's births, first, second, and third, are useless if the worship of the Lord is not there at all. Now, if it is there a little bit, okay, it is okay. So we have like nishkama karma arpana. You do your activities of karma, your nityanamajic activities of karma, but you also offer them to the Supreme Lord. So we say, oh, that's bhakti. It could be in one sense, but normally in this karma arpana, it is a secondary factor. And bhakti is secondary to the karma. Now, if we do bhakti, and we do these activities also without attachment, that's okay. But we're doing bhakti as the main activity, not the karma arpana and all this, or the nishkama karma. So when the activity is primarily bhakti, we have no attachment to the results of all these other things, then it becomes possible for us to pursue pure bhakti. But even if we were not to do those activities and just to do the bhakti activities, still one can succeed. And so that is why verses are quoted in the Bhagavad, like even the Chandalava, simply remembering the Lord once becomes superior to the Brahmana. In fact, such statements are made in the Bhagavad. Devahuti says that even by half chanting the name of the Lord, one surpasses the whole Varnashram system, even imperfectly chanting the name, half chanting it. That also has great power. And so, therefore, the Bhagavatam is glorifying principally the pure bhakti without the mixture, and everything else is in second place or third place or whatever after that.
One has to undergo the seminal birth, initiation birth, and one directly can go. So somebody has initiation directly for devotee service. And it's necessary that one has to go through this levels. Seminal birth is important, they have to address compulsory. Then one has to get initiated, then take devotee service. So the three births mentioned.
No, well, here the three births are the birth, the Upanayanam, and then the Yajna. So that was, I say, our first the Vedic ritual. And then one may not be a Vaishnava as a result, so what's the use of that? The others would be a Vaishnava, whether it's initiated or not, doesn't matter in one sense. Because in Kali Yuga, Nam is the process, so if you submit the whole thing, it's also good. And then we're successful if we worship the Lord that way. The worship of in Kali Yuga, the Yajna is chanting the name, which does not require initiation. So if we do that, we're successful, provided we have proper knowledge, of course. So even without any of these, other birth, the second or the Savitra or the Yajna one, fine, it's okay. Yeah? The other one, of course, is we do take Diksha, Vaishnava Diksha, or Pancharatri Diksha. So we can take that also without the Savitra and without the Yajna Diksha. It's also independent of that. And because of that, one surpasses the Brahmana, etc. So one has already achieved those, just as the verse says that if the name of the Lord is on the tip of your tongue, then you've already accomplished all the tapas and all the brahminical activities in previous lifetimes. It's already covered. So it is for that reason that when we take initiation, we also get the Brahmana thread, only to show that, not to make us a Brahmana, because that's not required. The qualification for worshipping the deity is not to be a Brahmana, but to be a Vaishnava. To get the Pancharatra mantras and worship the deity, then you get the thread also to show that, yes, we're also that category. So that was introduced because people said, oh, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are low-class people, they're not qualified to worship the deity. So Bhaktisiddhanta said, no, the Vaishnava is superior to the Brahmana. He is qualified. So therefore, give him a thread, everything. He's more qualified than the Brahmana. Only for that reason.
You know, in this call, we find that sometimes the devotee is not initiated. They say, oh, you're not pure. Sometimes comparison goes. monks initiate, first initiation is rescue and no, that's not the system. Like,
No. That's we can say material consideration. We think of material values. And that's why Lord Chaitanya said, oh, all this external about Varna and Ashrama and all these things, all external things. And, because we can, of course, say he's a sannyasi, he's a spirit. But in one sense, yes, but in one sense is also external. It's just a name and address one adopts, so that we can't really tell the nature of the person. So the real measure of success is the surrender and the amount of surrender, not what we call the person. Yeah, so technically this means that without the Vaishnava mantras, we're not supposed to worship the deity. Otherwise, if we just say, we don't have any of the Vaishnava mantras, but we're just Brahmins, then we're back to this whole position, what is the use of being a Brahmin, being a Savitra, if one doesn't worship the Lord? So it's not that the Savitra, the Brahma Gayatri qualifies you for worshipping the deity. It's your faith in the Lord, followed by the Vaishnava Diksha. With those mantras, you worship the Lord. Well, not useless in one sense, because if he doesn't use them for worship of the deity, in that sense useless. Not useless in the other sense, because the mantras contain the name of the Supreme Lord, so the name of the Supreme Lord is not useless also. One could chant that and get success also. So it's useful for our meditation on the Supreme Lord, whatever, as well as external meditation. So we can do internal meditation also, use those mantras, so it doesn't become useless.
Why there's no special discount? Because this one, normal practice is, the new book that John is sometimes gets initiated, then he says he takes a time initiation. This information is given properly. But nowadays, like we are criticizing a person about a Brahmin family, doesn't follow the Brahmin distinction. He's useless. Mock initiation, the group doesn't follow. You can be compared to the same thing.
Yeah, of course. If in other words, the diksha is there because the guru judges to the best of his ability that the person is qualified with faith, and therefore he gives an initiation. If he isn't, then it's a problem, of course. Or if the person after that point loses his faith or does certain activities or offensive activities, etc., and he loses faith or whatever, then it becomes unqualified again. So it's always possible. So the main thing we have to look for is surrender to Krishna. That's the main qualification of these other things.
How do you check the surrender?
You have to be very careful, and you can see over time whether the person continues his steadiness in his activities.
The cooking cannot be done in case if there is a devotee who's with proper knowledge, he chants the names of the Lord. As cooking is part of daily worship, he still cannot cook.
Technically, no, in Pancharatri. If we want to say Kali Yuga Hari Nam, okay, fine, but as far as Pancharatra is, Pancharatra has their standards. If we want to go Raghunuga, then of course we have different standards.
Maharaj, what about a case of, say for example, Kupis? They perform all these functions, they have daily worship, and so how do we understand their daily worship?
I don't know, ask them.
My question is, since they have broken off from the, they have a different conception, their maybe proper knowledge, they don't have proper knowledge.
Yeah.
So in that case, what happens to their daily worship, what happens to their bhakti?
Well, what is it called? Upataya kalpate. That if we don't follow scripture, then we end up with some sort of obstacles and disturbance in the process. Ultimately.
You know, thanking is more important than the case of surrender.
No, well, that's not their argument. Their argument is that only one qualified diksha was Prabhupada's use day. That's not, so it's not the chanting. It's that you have to take diksha. And only Prabhupada, that's their argument.
So Maharaj, so what is his status on daily worship? they opening temples and they have deities.
Yeah.
So, what is this? Are they idols or they're deities?
Technically, again, ultimately we say pancharatrik, and we follow strict pancharatrik processes. They're not initiated yet because we can't follow that. We can't don't see that system in pancharatra anymore. But the other point, of course, is that if we avoid the pancharatra completely, we just go on the basis of faith and advancement. Anyone who's a devotee then can worship. That's another different standard. So we have sincere faith. That's another thing. Yeah, because we get the mantra. The Vaishnava mantras for worshipping the deity is given at Diksha and in what we call second initiation. Huh? So with those mantras then one is judged to be a proper Vaishnava and therefore is qualified to worship the deity.
Among Gaudiya Vaishnavas, there are many branches. Like they have ISKCON and many temples, they have Puyaris and of course initiated by not ISKCON, but not even those. That's okay. But they
yeah.
Don't have the same
concept. As long as they got some bona fide guru, not at all.
Maharaj, here as the three processes, three initiations, three words are Vedic, but they are not Angad Bhakti.
No, because it says here, if they were Angas, then what would the question be if you're not, if you don't worship the Lord, then what's the thing? So obviously not. I said it could be, if we take the Savitri as worshiping Vishnu, and they do worship Vishnu through that, fine, okay. But many people don't. That's the problem.
Maharaj, in case of Pancharatri,
it's
considered
Angas. What?
The different...
Well, Pancharatri Vidhis, they're taking the Vaishnava Diksha, which is completely separate from this, or we could call it the Yajna Diksha if you want to. So that surpasses the other ones.
So that is part of Angad Bhakti.
What? Initiation? Yeah. Part of the second Angad Bhakti, Diksha Shikshadi.
What is special
Bhakti,
especially one for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? It's from the scripture.
Huh?
Where can we find that scripture?
What?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's guide
scriptures, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's. There is, I think, some tantra, Ishan tantra or something, I think it's found. The Gaura Mantra, you mean? Is that you mean? The Gaura Mantra? I believe it's found in something called Ishan tantra, I'm not sure.
Thank you.